So I thank you all for all of your input this week. There's some big themes to hit today and in the weeks to come, and I've had a lot of input from people about what those should be. And my favorite is that July is Shark Month. So thank you, Bea. Indeed, July is Shark Month. Not to make light of the times, but it's true, right? So in the letter to the Galatians, we hear these words. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. It is a stunning proclamation of truths deeper than the world as we know it, as they knew it at the time. The revolutionary nature of these words of Paul in Galatians, even for me, are so much clearer than when I first studied them. They are binaries or dualisms, contrasting namings of power and order, of who we are, how we understand ourselves under the law, the way things must be, complementary, you might even think, the law, history. So for context, the Galatians are a people. They are an uncivilized group, is the way that Rome understood them. They are not respected. They are literally cannon fodder. I say this every year, and I'll keep doing it every year because I find it fascinating. The great Pergamon altar that was one of the ways that we understand how Rome understood the people, the emperors piled on top of this massive thing. You can go to Berlin and see it today. The Galatians are at the bottom. That's who they are. They are the people squashed literally in the statuary at the bottom. And Galatians is the oldest book in the New Testament. Like, take a minute to receive that. Galatians. So I know you're all going to do what people said after 8, go home and read Galatians. It's possible that it's 1 Thessalonians, but that is so uncompelling. We're going to go with Galatians. And it's within a couple of years of each other. And they think it was written around 50. So if Jesus dies around 30, think about how close that is to the time of Jesus. And it takes on the question that I ask myself all the time, what was compelling back then? They didn't have our theology books. They didn't have these buildings. They didn't have community. What was compelling that caused our ancestors to think this was for them? So Galatians is the oldest book and maybe the closest to what they were saying at the time. Right, those first followers of Jesus, what they were saying that starts the movement that we have today. In Christ, Paul writes to that community of Galatians who have become followers of the way of Jesus, these ways of being, because Paul had already been there. He went, he converted, he left to convert what he did, and others had come. Other people that were followers of Jesus, and they had said, you Galatians, to be right, you must do some things to make yourself properly Jewish, to become properly Christian, because that's what Christians were at the time. There wasn't really a Christian. There was a way of being a particular kind of Jewish person. And they were going for it, because if you read Galatians, which again, I'm sure you will this afternoon, Paul is so mad. He's furious, and you can still see it in the translation to English. He is furious as he's writing Galatians. Because they have agreed to go and try to become properly Jewish, to become proper followers of the way. And Paul's message was different. Exactly as you are, maybe even because of who you are, exactly as you are, you have dignity in yourself. For you, there is no Jew nor Greek, no man nor woman, no slave nor free, no Galatian or Roman or Jew. What a radical message for us today. Now, some argue that these words must have been some kind of creed of the early Christians, because if you go through the letters of Paul, they come up over and over again. You know them. You actually know them as I say them, even if you're not that religious, because we all hear them all the time, right? That would have been an original creed that they might have even sung together and maybe part of a larger formula that they sang. And nothing against our creed, but I like this one better, right? No Jew, nor Greek, no male, nor female, no slave, or free. Now, Pauli Murray, who we observe, his feast day we're observing here today, agreed, saying, not that I am neither. Pauli Murray said, I am all. Could it have been a radical equality that Jesus preached and practiced that drew people to him, like Pauli Murray is so convicting and compelling for us today? I am all. I include all. So if the letter of Paul to the Galatians is written around 50, unlike our Gospels, which are written later, and probably involve groups of people figuring out how to tell the story of Jesus, how to write it down, and Paul is writing this community to the people that he knew, and he says, no, as forcefully as he can, he declares to them, and this is Galatians 5, you are free. Free as you are, whoever you are. Do not reject where you have come from. Do not be ashamed of what has made you you. Do not reject your people. Don't lose the story of you. Don't reject your neighbors. You are free to love one another and to expect to live with dignity with one another. That's what Galatians is about. It's why it says don't harm your body. It says things like that that are complicated to read today, frankly, and things we don't often read on Sunday morning. It's messy because he's saying as you are, as you are. Paul must have been a wild guy in 50. So if Jesus has died in 30, Paul is persecuting his followers in 30. He is blinded by a light, is the story of Paul, falls off a horse, and gets his sight back at the hands of one of these Jesus followers, and then spends the rest of his life telling people about it, applying his learning and his experience to all of these communities to shine, he writes, beginning with this one. And it is so simple. Christ has bought us this profound freedom, Paul writes, taught it to us, illustrated it to us, died in his proclamation of that freedom for everyone, as Jesus proclaims in the parable today. Jesus will die. Jesus will die as the payment for the harvest he would claim if he is the son in the parable we heard read today, that cornerstone that has been cast away. If the vineyard is the created order that we have done nothing to earn, the values proclaimed to us in sacred scripture, the ways of God revealed to us in tradition, all calling for a response from us, what we do, what we honor, how we choose to live together, even who we elect. If you have a little community organizer in you, you might have heard this gospel reading a little bit differently, and many scholars do, those poor workers and their absentee landlord. Yes. And there is good scholarship that says this is a story about something that had actually happened when Jesus is telling the story, involving wealthy Roman landlords and laborers in Israel at the time. And the anger from the people in the story at Jesus, and they're angry at the end again, is Jesus's twist at the end. He doesn't say just, how dare they? He takes that story and says, this is me. This is about me and the covenant with our people. They expected him to decry the powerful, and he convicts them instead. He has captured the attention of his listeners with a story they all knew, front page news, top of fold kind of story, and then it turns out to be about Jesus. He was preaching, turning a news story into a story about the children of Israel at the time and what their God demanded of them, oriented to their own faithfulness, even as they are oppressed. The calling of being chosen to live to the highest standards of decency and justice as a community, the same high standards we inherit as followers of Jesus, a haven to the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner. You know who that is today, especially in these years. Paul says as much to the Galatians. Your chosenness is not about the superficial things. Do not brutalize your bodies. Believe yourself unworthy. Do not set up impossible standards for yourself that you might ever imagine that you are not worthy as you are. Or worse still, do not create for yourself a class of people to tell you whether you are good enough or not. Don't do it. Christ in you is all, Paul says, calls you up from your deepest depths as you are, to dignity. Dignity is the language of our tradition. Pauli Murray in the poem we heard read this morning says something very, very similar in claiming her own place in America. The poem was published in 1969. Her first book was published about 10 years before. She lives through the height of the 1900s and is one of the premier figures in literature at that time. Like Paul, she names identities that seem firm and distinct, but claims them all to be a part of herself. She claimed the truth of a truly American identity, she wrote, one particular to this place on the earth and the people that have come here. A decade before she was ordained a priest in the Episcopal Church, she writes a Galatians-like piece that takes apart simple binaries, tells the truth of our interrelatedness, even within ourselves, and in doing so, names the possibility that is America. She was a lawyer first, and you can hear it. Friends, it is not just Shark Month, though it is important. that it is shark month. It is going to be a shark season, no doubt about it. Engaging or avoiding our politics will leave you with the same levels of anxiety, I can promise that. The world is in spasms of decision-making everywhere, all over the world. It is hard to live a peaceful life, almost everywhere. Hardest for the poorest among us always. We are colonized, aren't we, by agendas that are not our own, squeezing the life out of the ordinary person. There is nowhere you can go in the city and not encounter an unhoused person, probably someone living with mental illness. If I think about the frailness of all of our mental health in these times, can you imagine if you also had no home? The war in Ukraine rages on, Gaza is under siege and bombardment. There is no one-stop solution, no spreadsheet hack that solves it all. These are real people's lives, decimated by a cynical lack of support and opportunity, by violence, by war, often by Christians. Now, to be clear, we are not a Christian nation, and I should leave that there, but I mean, the founders did not want to establish a Christian nation, and they did not. We are not, and that is a historical fact. We are a nation that establishes in its constitution the freedom to practice one's religion, or no religion, which would have been a novelty in Europe at the time. But many of us who live here try to be Christians. We are actually Christians. Not people who blame Jesus for our prejudices and aspirations, but those who in humility try to follow those demanding teachings, and they are demanding of all of us, like this. We must live our citizenship in this great nation for the support and well-being of the whole, particularly the vulnerable, like the Galatians, the left behind and the taken for granted. Now, we are all probably taught to be cynical about some group of people. We probably come by that honestly. So check yourself in this shark month that you are not becoming a shark. No offense intended to sharks. Your neighbors are not monsters. Your neighbors' demands for protection under the law, not a small matter. Democracy begins in our communities. If we do not choose to remain in relationship and conversation with our neighbors, extremists will capture the imagination of this nation. Many of those extremists claim our faith, Christianity, and name it. And so we must resist it or address it, especially when our faith is claimed on the side of prejudices and bias, of racism or sexism or homophobia or transphobia or religious oppression. We don't do that. Because friends, everything, the lives we enjoy are like a vineyard in which we labor. It is a good life in a vineyard, all we need, apparently because of our own efforts. But the land has been prepared, the vines planted, the press and the vats were built, an order created that we all may thrive. And the fee is justice. It can be sought through the law, and as Christians, the call is even higher, to seek to protect the dignity of one another. Dignity is the language of our faith. In some ways, so much more granular and daily. And as Pauli Murray writes, to claim that same dignity for yourself, Murray's plea as a person of white and black heritage, an activist for women's rights, who wrote extensively beginning in the 1950s about a sense of being a man inside when nobody talked about that, a powerful legacy of work for equality under the law for black people, for women, all simply in pursuit of, as we heard read, every human being's right to seek only discovery of the illimitable heights and depths of my own being, to sparkle in this darkness. Freedom, it is called in Galatians, and may it be so for us in this momentous year in the history of the United States, and in the words of the inimitable Ed Rodman, let there be peace among us, and let us never be the agent of our own or anyone else's oppression. Amen.